Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I interview a different expert about the tools you need to find the work you want. When you're job hunting, you will hear the word no a lot. In fact, almost every day. How can you keep your spirits up? Here to talk about how to deal with job search rejection is Elizabeth Borelli. Elizabeth is a certified career coach. She's also the creator of the Career Builder Boot Camps. And she joins us today in person in the MaxList studio in Portland. Elizabeth, let's get right to it. Why shouldn't a listener take rejection personally?
Well, it is part of the job search, and ultimately your goal is to find the right role, right job opportunity. So you can't let those no's or those rejections hold you back from reaching your goal. So it's one of those things that we have to learn how to overcome because it's part of the process.
How do you see the people you work with as a career coach react to rejection?
It was one of the things I noticed when I was teaching workshops, that people were really feeling a loss of confidence. And even the people that had the most qualifications, the most expertise, everyone felt this sense of rejection. Unfortunately, in today's job search, as we know, a lot of times people will submit their resumes online and get no response. And that feels like a rejection, even when it's not a direct no. So they'd get discouraged. They'd feel like maybe it wasn't working for them. Maybe there was something wrong with them. A lot of times I would see people take things personally that are really just part of this process that involves a lot of either lack of response or a negative response. But again, it's not something that's personal to them. It's just how the process goes these days.
It's hard, though, not to take it personally, isn't it?
It's really hard, and especially when you're working with people who might be older or maybe they don't have a degree or some reason, something that they feel insecure about. And so that's the first thing they think of when they don't get the positive response. They think it must be something that they're lacking. But again, part of the process.
And do you find that you mentioned age. I mean, we are who we are, mm-hmm. no matter where we are in life. That's something that we just can't control. Do you see that people feel take rejection harder when it's when they perceive it's because of something like that?
Definitely. Yeah, they tend to think it's ageism. Sometimes they feel like maybe their skills are no longer relevant or marketable when they're not getting the positive responses they're hoping for.
And I want to talk about what people can do about it, but I do want to acknowledge rejection can take a lot of different forms. It's not just about not getting a call back or perhaps a response to an application, but sometimes people become distressed about not hearing back about informational interviews and other things like that, don't they?
Right. A lot of times they may reach out for referrals or they might try to connect with people, like you said, for informational interviews. And everyone's so busy and they may not respond. Sometimes they might just have missed the email. But just that, again, lack of response is taken personally often. But one thing I did hear recently is a statistic, and it's a sales statistic that shows that you need to reach out to someone or in a sales capacity, which looking for a job is, you need to reach out to somebody. I think the average was 7 times before you get a yes. So that's not once, that's not twice, that's 7 times where often when we work with candidates, if we suggest, you know, maybe you should reach out again, try again, and they've already reached out once or twice, they think at this point they'll be harassing the person, or I've even heard the word stalking used. So it's something they're really reluctant to do. Unfortunately, again, this is part of the sales cycle or process. So we have to learn to get over that personalization of the negative response or lack of response in order to reach our goals.
You said that people shouldn't take rejection personally. What's the better way to think about rejection, Elizabeth?
I like to think of it as a numbers game. So again, back to the sales example, if you are going to have to reach out to someone 7 times on average to get a yes, each time you do it, you're 1 step closer. And if you think of it that way, if you depersonalize it and just understand that it's a numbers game, and every time you get either lack of response or no, you're actually getting 1 step closer to yes. That's a more positive way to think of it.
Sometimes when people use that phrase, numbers game, they're talking about online applications. And I've talked with candidates, for example, who might sit down every Monday morning and send out 10 applications, and then the next day on Tuesday, another 10. Can you talk more about numbers and why sometimes they're your friend and sometimes they're not when you talk about a numbers game?
Right. Well, as we know, sending out applications in response to the job boards or online isn't the most effective way to go. So you may be sending a lot of applications for jobs you're perfectly qualified for and not getting a response and become frustrated when if you put your energy more into connecting with referrals, networking your way into the companies that you're interested in working for, that's a lot more effective. So in that case, I would say doing that kind of numbers game is going to give you a lot more return or results than the one of just applying online.
So you're really talking about the number of contacts somebody might make, and that could take many forms. An informational interview, sending a thank you note,
right?
Perhaps attending a professional event. It's not about grinding out online applications.
Definitely. I think it's the quality is what we're referring to here. So the quality of the connection, which is, the in-person connection, the referral, the networking event, the informational interview is always going to be a lot more valuable than just the online application process.
And how can following a strategy like that, which I think is very effective, help people manage rejection?
I think that you're going to get a lot more quality responses back. So if you are talking to somebody face-to-face and they let you know that, no, we don't have an open position right now, or the position's already been filled, but we will keep you in mind for the future, you're actually still relationship building. So it's really all about relationship building. And when you are having those one-to-one conversations, even when you get a rejection, it's still relationship building, which can help you in the future.
And do you find that people have a different reaction, even when it is a rejection, when it occurs in a conversation versus, say, receiving a terse email or a recorded voicemail?
I think so, because I think, again, one-to-one, there's more context, there's more understanding of the big picture versus just getting a terse email or almost seems like a closed door, like the door slamming in your face and you're not sure why. So you don't really have any context or understanding of why you got that response.
What I like, too, about your point about focusing on relationships is it results in human connection. And even when the news is bad, I think, Elizabeth, it's better received when you're getting it face-to-face.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You talked earlier about online applications and not spending all your time on job boards. And we run a job board at MaxList. And I just want to second your point here, because if you're spending 100% of your time on MaxList, you need to step away from the computer. Talk about the importance of clarity and how that can, in the long run, help you reduce and manage rejection during a search.
I think the more clear you are about your goals, the more someone's going to be able to help you. It also helps you to really build your brand. So when you're clear, it enables the person you're networking or connecting with to understand exactly where you will be a good fit for their organization or the referral, versus when you're not clear, very vague about what position you're looking for. You know, you might just say, oh, I'm looking for a job. And maybe you even know, you know, roughly which role you're looking for. But unless you're crystal clear, nobody's really going to remember what, how they can help you. The clearer you are, the more your referral or connection will be able to help you.
How specific do you recommend your clients get? If they're at an event, for example, and they want to tell people that they're looking for work, what should they say?
So depending on who they're talking to, so I always suggest that if you're talking to somebody that already works at the company, that you go online and research what positions specifically do they have? What roles do they specifically have at that company? Come up with, you know, 1 to 3. And, you know, depending on who you're talking to and how they'll be able to help you, that's how clear you want to be, as clear as possible.
What I like about that advice is I've said this myself earlier in my career, and we've all been on the receiving end of these conversations where someone says, I'm looking for a position. If you hear of anything, let me know. And the odds are pretty good. You're never going to get back to that person.
Right.
Because, not because you don't want to help, but because it's unclear exactly what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But people sometimes may walk away from that conversation and say, I spoke to Elizabeth, I let Mac know I'm looking, and I never heard back.
Right, exactly.
But there is something you can do about it. And mm-hmm. to your point, you need to be crystal clear about what you want. And it's also important to know what companies you want to be at, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, good. What are some other tips, Elizabeth, for managing rejection during a search that you'd like to share?
Well, one of the things is take care of yourself. So if you are just, you know, on the job looking for your job, you need to build in some time to decompress, some time to make sure that you're doing things that are fulfilling to you other than just looking for a job. A lot of times when I work with clients, they feel like because they are on the job search that they shouldn't do anything that they enjoy because, you know, they have to just go full steam. If they take that approach, unfortunately, and they'll end up burning themselves out, or how are they going to show up in an interview if they're not feeling great? So definitely take the time to take care of yourself, exercise, socialize, network for not just the job search, but for, you know, enjoyment too, and make it more of like a holistic kind of experience versus just so single focused that you can end up burning out or feeling bad when the results don't go the way you want them to.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to continue our conversation with Elizabeth about how to deal with rejection during a job search. Here's another way employers reject you, and you don't even know when it happens. A hiring manager may check your online profile when reviewing a job application. And if something doesn't look right, your resume could go straight to the reject pile. Do you like what you see about yourself on the internet? If not, I've got a 3-part video course that can help. It's called How to Wow and Woo Employers Online. Join the class today. Go to maxlist.org/wow. It's free. And here's what you'll learn. Yes, we will talk about the importance of removing those embarrassing photos posted by your long-forgotten high school classmates, and we'll show you how to do it. But the most successful job candidates use LinkedIn and other platforms to post industry news, share what they know, and help others. This attracts recruiters and lets you build professional relationships online. Would you like to learn how to do this? Go to maxlist.org/wow. It's free. In a recent survey, 98% of recruiters said they use LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter to find candidates. What will a hiring manager see when Googling your name? Learn how to put your best foot forward online. Sign up today for How to Wow and Woo Employers. Go to maxlist.org/wow. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back at the Maxlist studio. I'm talking with Elizabeth Borelli. She's a certified career coach, and she's also the creator of Career Builder Boot Camps. Elizabeth, we were talking about self-care before the break. I'm glad you brought that up because do you find in your work that some people think they need to spend 40, 50 hours a week just focusing on the job search?
I do, yeah. I find that because they don't have a job, they almost feel like it's almost like a punishment or something that they have to just do this until they can earn the right to relax. But ultimately, they are undermining the quality of how they're going to show up for conversations, for networking events, and even demotivating themselves by you know, using that mentality.
And you reach a point of diminishing returns at
some
point. Do you have recommendations for listeners about how many hours in a week you might spend on job hunting?
Well, this might not be what everybody would agree with, but what I suggest is that everybody find their time where they're, you know, best, they're most at their most creative, most alert, most energetic. And for most people, studies show that's in the morning. So I always like to suggest that people carve out that time, and maybe it's 3 hours, and make that their job search time, and just focus on the job search during that time versus getting sucked down the rabbit hole of Facebook or any of the other distractions that we end up often turning to when we're doing some unpleasant activity like the job search. So what I suggest is that they carve out this time, do their job search activities, and then reward themselves at the end of that time with the things that they typically might distract themselves with. So, you know, whether that's social media, for some people it's laundry, whatever it is that we end up turning to when we are frustrated and need a little bit of procrastination or distraction, save that, use that as a reward, and once you get your work done, then do those things.
I think everybody's obviously experienced rejection during job search, and I think we've all got a story like this about a position. We were excited about it. We perhaps got an interview, and we might have even had a second interview, mm-hmm. and then we never heard back.
Yeah, that's the worst.
It is. And sometimes, and I certainly experienced this personally earlier in my career, that can lead to anger and frustration that's hard to let go.
Yes.
Do you have tips for a listener who might be experiencing that right now, Elizabeth?
You know, my clients experience that on a regular basis, and I was actually just working with someone who was in that situation, and he needed to decompress from that situation. He was waiting and waiting. He was really counting on this offer coming through, then never heard anything.
Anything at all?
No.
Just crickets forever.
Exactly.
What did he do?
Well, he had to go through his process, and what I suggest people do is find something to, you know, do something that is fulfilling or, you know, something they like doing. So whether that's a social activity, something fun, something that will distract them from that negative event that happened, because it is a mindset and you have to process through it. But typically it does take a little bit of time. So I don't think anyone can instantly go, okay, that happened, I'm on to the next, you know, job search. But give yourself some time to decompress, do some things that you enjoy, and then just, you know, start it up again.
Do you recommend communicating with the employer or perhaps sending off a tweet with your opinion about the hiring practices of that particular company?
Probably not a good idea. You might regret that later. Yeah. And you never know. They could actually turn around and maybe the job was just on hold. And then a month later, you may hear from them. You don't know for sure. So yeah.
I have seen people write those tweets and then just delete them or write it out on a piece of paper and then tear it up.
Actually, that is a great strategy too. Journaling is so healthy. Journaling, writing those letters and deleting them, that's a really great practice.
Many of the tips that we've talked about in this conversation to help manage rejection come back to job hunting skills and being selective, being clear about what you want, applying in fewer places, but for the places you're most excited about, mm-hmm. paying attention to follow up, you know, not assuming just because someone doesn't return, respond to a message right away, that means they're not interested. Sometimes you have to go two or even three times back to remind them. What do you say to people who say, well, I don't have time to be selective, Elizabeth. I need a job. I've got bills to pay.
Right. Well, I think there, you know, again, we're talking about quality over quantity. So if you do take the time to be selective instead of doing the high quantity events, you're allocating your time in a different way. So I think you're just allocating your time in probably a more strategic way. And ultimately, it won't take more time, but may produce better results and probably will.
How about confidence? I know we touched on that earlier in the conversation. How do you see your clients keep their confidence up, in spite, particularly during a 3, 6, or 9 month job search?
Yeah, it's hard to do. And definitely accountability partnerships, networking groups. A lot of the job seekers I work with attend networking groups on a regular basis. And it's just a really great place to connect with people who are also in that space and are also working to keep their confidence up and their self-esteem up. So they're not going to the networking events complaining about how, you know, difficult their search is. They're going there and trying to boost each other up and give each other tips. So that can be really helpful.
Tell us about accountability partners. How do you find somebody and how do you, what's the best way to work with them?
You can either go to a networking group on a regular basis as an accountability strategy. You can work with a coach, can be a great accountability partner, or even just finding somebody in your network that's also in a similar situation that you can maybe check in with on a weekly basis. Weekly is a really good way to time it. Check in on a weekly basis just for even 10 or 15 minutes and make it a regular thing. And speak to this other person, your accountability partner, about your goals and what you want to accomplish this week. And then by the time you speak to them the following week, the idea is that you will have accomplished those things. And I find this really works, even if you're accomplishing your goals like the night before, you know, you're going to speak with your accountability partner. It really helps you to stay on track.
And how does it help you manage rejection?
It helps you to have somebody to talk it through with and somebody that understands and can listen and encourage you versus when you're just, you know, on your own trying to process this. Sometimes that's when you can start the negative self-talk and spiraling into that bad space.
And speaking of negative self-talk, sometimes people, when they're out of work, are they feel embarrassment and even a sense of shame.
Yeah.
What would you say to a listener who finds it hard to talk about the fact that they're out of work, particularly if it's been some period of time?
Well, there's a couple of ways that you can do it. And one of them is to reframe what the job, you know, what your situation is. So rather than saying I'm unemployed or I don't have a job, you can say I'm in a career transition space and I'm reviewing my options and looking for the best fit for my future. So a lot of it is just about how you're talking to yourself, how you're talking to yourself about your situation. So find more empowering language and definitely find people that can be a strong support system for you. I know I've had, I've taught workshops where I've actually taught this rejection proof your job search workshop where attendees have said they've had to change their network because some of the people in their network were not understanding and were saying things like, what, you haven't found a job yet? So they actually had to be more selective and kind of curate who they decided to spend their time with because those kinds of friends are not helpful when you're in that space.
What are some of your other tips about managing the emotions that come with the rejection that we're all going to experience when we do a job search?
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing is to really take great care of yourself. So make sure you're sleeping really well. Make sure you're exercising. Exercise is really good for releasing endorphins and helping you to stay positive even when it is a difficult time. Another one is to volunteer. You know, use some time to give back and helping other people can be really uplifting as well. And another thing is to be willing to be inspired. So there's lots of great TED Talks. There is one of my favorites is called Rejection Proof, and it's based on a book by an author named Jai Jiang, who did an experiment, a social experiment on rejection. And that's actually one of my favorite TED Talks to recommend that people watch during this time when they're experiencing these challenges.
What do you like best about that talk?
I like the fact that he put himself out there. He was having such a difficult time with rejection. He realized it was holding him back. And rejection can hold you back, because when you lose confidence and are less willing to put yourself out there, he says you're rejecting yourself by default. So rather than letting that happen, he just became comfortable with rejection. He learned that it's almost like a muscle. The more you work it, the more times you get rejected and learn to recover from it, the easier it is every time, and it won't hold you back from.
And what did he do to learn how to manage rejection?
He put himself into a lot of positions where he knew he would be rejected. He asked people really outlandish. He gave a lot of outlandish requests to people that he knew would be rejecting. And then when they said no, first he, you know, was really embarrassed and horrified and all of those negative emotions. But at some point he realized that they were saying no for a reason, and he wanted to know what that reason was. So he started asking why. And when he asked why, it kind of changed everything for him, because he learned there really was usually a rational reason that had nothing to do with him. So where he was personalizing things, it was often about something completely different that had nothing to do with him. So it just gave him a better understanding of rejection and realized that it's not going to kill you. It's just, it actually can make you stronger.
What I like about that story is I think when we don't hear back from an employer, we provide an explanation of our own. And mm-hmm. often it could be as simple as, the email we sent went down to the second or third or the fourth page in the inbox.
Right.
And it's just out of sight and out of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something you can do about it if you know the reason why, or you have an assumption, for example, that it's just buried. And so if you send a reminder, you're not being a pest. You're actually addressing the reason why you haven't gotten a response.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's been a terrific conversation. Now, tell us, Elizabeth, what's next for you?
Well, I am in the process of releasing my Career Builders Boot Camps online workshops, and I'm really excited. It's a series of three modules, and the first one is for people who are just in the process of deciding what they want to do. Maybe they've taken a break from the workforce, and they're getting ready to go back, so helping them through that process. And the second one is for people who are changing jobs or returning from a career break, and the third is more of the higher level strategies for people who are looking to advance in their career.
Well, I know people can learn more about your boot camps and your coaching services at your company by visiting nextcareercoaching.com/maxlist. And do you have a special offer for our listeners, Elizabeth?
I do. And I'm really excited for them to check out the page and learn more about the special offer just for MaxList listeners.
Okay, well, there's a surprise waiting for you. Elizabeth, you've shared a lot of great advice today. And what's the one thing you want our audience to remember about how to deal with job search rejection?
I think it's that you're not alone, and it is part of the process. So when you go in with that understanding and realization, it helps you to work through it more effectively.
That was a terrific conversation with Elizabeth. Here's my big takeaway, and it's this: the importance of clarity. When you know what you want, where you want to go, and what you have to offer, your job search gets so much easier. And it also makes it easier for you to share how people can help you. And that means a lot less rejection. You've got to pay attention to managing emotions and the self-care tips. Those are so important. But so is the strategy and the story you tell. And it's also important to think about the story you're telling about yourself online. When recruiters Google you, what are they going to see? If you're not comfortable with your digital footprint, and there's always room for improvement, we've got a free course that can help. It's called How to Wow and Woo Employers Online. And you'll learn how to put your best foot forward when you're on the internet. If you'd like to get a copy today and sign up for the class, go to maxlist.org/wow. Again, that's maxlist.org/wow. Well, many candidates treated a job interview like a legal deposition. They walk into a room, they answer an employer's questions, and then they leave. Does this sound like you? Our guest next Wednesday is Amy Davies. She says the most successful job seekers tell stories in a job interview. Amy and I will talk about how you can tell your own story when you meet a hiring manager, and we'll discuss why it can make all the difference in a job interview. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.